Good morning, everybody. This is week three of a five-week series on the gifts of grace, the grace gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the theme today is gifts of care for one another. The fascinating thing is that in the New Testament, there are three main lists in Paul's letters of the grace gifts in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And as we've already seen in the series, these lists overlap with each other. It's also interesting to notice that there are references to the gifts in a lot of other places in the New Testament. In Matthew 10, Mark 16, all the way through Acts, 1 and 2 Timothy, Hebrews 2 and 13, James 5, 1 Peter 4, 1 John 4. If you want those references, have a word with me afterwards. One of the things that fascinates me is that many preachers and many websites talk about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's based on the famous passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that Nigel will be preaching from next week. And in that famous passage from verse 8, we're given 9 gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, or better, speaking in different languages, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And those are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that many preachers concentrate on, and many websites concentrate on. But actually, even in 1 Corinthians 12, there are more gifts than that. So in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians, it says this: in the church, God has appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healing. But then, he says, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues or spiritual languages. In fact, in the New Testament, I have identified over 20 grace gifts, including singleness. That's an unusual one, isn't it? The thing to remember as we look at the gifts is that although some of the gifts seem very ordinary, the Apostle Paul uses the same word for all of them, charisma, grace gift, in the plural, charismata. Now, some of us might have been taught in different churches that the 9 gifts are the real thing. I want to tell you that that is unbiblical. All the gifts are called charisma in the New Testament, including some that seem very ordinary. A famous book that came out in 1973, published by IVP, written by Don Bridge and David Vipers, says this: what must be grasped is that startling or ordinary, controversial or universally accepted, all of these gifts are referred to as charisma, and all are set within the same context of the working of the body of Christ, the activity of the Holy Spirit. So, with that introduction, we're going to be looking at Romans 12. And the context for this talk about the gifts of the Spirit is the church, the body of Christ. In verses 1 to 3, Paul gives 3 priorities for disciples of Jesus. They are worship as a way of life, transformation, renewed thinking, and renewal, according to Titus 3, verse 5, is a work of the Holy Spirit, and humility. Look at yourself with sober judgment. And in verse 10, which we heard read just now, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. So whatever gift you have, that is not the reason for pride. It's something God has done, not that you have done. And then in verses 4 to 6, he talks about life in the church, and I can sum that up in one sentence. One body, many members, with different gifts, and each member belongs to all the others. Whether you're in leadership, or whether you do the cleaning at Forefront Community Centre, whether you serve tea after the service, or you're on the preaching team, we all belong to one another. We all serve the same God using the gifts he has given us. Now, in this passage in Romans 12, Paul lists seven gifts. Three of them are in the other lists. One of them is prophecy in verse 6 of Romans 12. Come next week and Nigel will explain what prophecy is. I'm not going to overlap with him. Then he, in the same list, Paul talks about teaching. And he also talks about leadership. And both of those were covered by David last week in the Ephesians 4 passage. So we're not going to look at those this morning. Instead, we're going to look at the four gifts in this list that are all to do with caring for one another. The grace gift of serving is the first one. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, and, you know, years ago when I first got involved in teaching and preaching about the subject of the gifts of the Spirit and come across serving, I remember thinking, I'd not really thought of that as a charisma. Surely all Christians are meant to be servants. And Jesus very clearly said to the disciples in Mark 10, you in the church are not to lord it over people. You're called to be servants. And he even said, I'm your Lord and Master, but I came to serve you, not to be served. So if King Jesus serves us, all of us are meant to be servants. So surely that's not a charisma, that's just something that we all have to do. Well, whether we like it or not, Paul, in this list in Romans 12, is saying that serving is a charisma, a gift, a grace gift of the Holy Spirit. Some believers are gifted particularly to be servants. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, it says that one of the gifts is those able to help others. Those of you who know the Authorized Version, it just says the gift of helps. That sounds very ordinary. Is that really a gift of the Spirit? Yes, it is. Some people are equipped, empowered, gifted to serve par excellence, to serve beyond all measure. I'm sure you can think of Christians you know who are supernaturally natural at caring, serving, helping others. When I was preparing this message, I thought of one person in Forefront who sums that up. I'm sure many of you are thinking of the same person I'm thinking of, Sheila Diamond. Someone with an amazing gift, charisma of service. And now she's at home, having been diagnosed with two strokes, and other people are serving her. The church needs people like Sheila, doesn't it? The church needs those who are particularly gifted by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the charisma that God has given them to minister and serve people in love. And it's interesting that in Romans, where Paul mentions this gift, and in 1 Peter 4, where Peter mentions this gift, the word hospitality comes in too. So if you look at verse 13 of Romans 12, share with God's people who are in need, that's the service gift. Then he says, practice hospitality. and many, many people here have enjoyed Sheila's hospitality. No, not just Sheila's, Paul and Sheila's hospitality, as part of Sheila's charisma of serving. Some of these gifts I'm talking about this morning are not the sort of gifts you experience from up front. One of the problems with preachers and teachers and those with a prophetic ministry is that they can get an awful lot of kudos from being up front and saying, this is what God is saying. The serving charisma is often behind the scenes, isn't it? But it's just as much a power of the Holy Spirit as preaching or teaching or prophesying. That's the New Testament teaching. Serving. Pray for Sheila, that the Lord will raise her up and heal her. We need people like Sheila in the church. But then we come... I'm terrible at remembering to use the clicker. I'm sorry about that. Then we come to the gift of encouraging. The Authorized Version uses the word exhorting, which actually is a better translation of the word. That picture sums it up. The encourager is someone who gets alongside someone, maybe when they're going through a real tough time, and pulls them up, or helps them up, or prods them to get moving. Encouraging, exhorting, includes these words: pleading, appealing, warning, encouraging, urging people to get close to Jesus. You see, we can all be optimistic, smiley, encouraging people. But that's not what Paul is writing about here. He's talking about something stronger. And actually, he uses the most unexpected word in the Greek. He uses the word paraklesis, which is the word to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we heard last week, is the one who comes alongside as the helper. And the encourager is the one who has the gift of urging people to get closer to Jesus. And this gift can be exercised in preaching and in small groups and one-to-one. Let me give you an example from the early church. There was a man called Barnabas, who was an encourager, an exhorter. In fact, he was given the nickname, Son of Encouragement. That's in Acts 4:36. It's there on the screen. And when a new church started in Antioch, 300 miles north of Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem heard about it. That's interesting. No Facebook, no emails, no telephones, but they heard about it 300 miles away. How? By people gossiping on the trade route. Have you heard what God's doing in Antioch? And so the leaders in Jerusalem said, we need to send somebody to make sure this is kosher, that this is real, that check it out. And they sent Barnabas. And Barnabas went to Antioch on a mission to check out this new church. And it says in Acts 11, verse 22, news of the church in Antioch reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God, and he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. That's the charisma of exhortation, encouragement, getting alongside Christians and saying, come on, get closer to Jesus, get closer to the Lord, get praying, make sure you get to your life group, make sure you get involved in all that God is doing. Come on, you can do it. Peter did it on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? At the end of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, it says this: with many other words, Peter warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. How do we know he had the charisma of exhortation and encouragement? Listen to the next sentence. 3,000 believed and were added to the church and baptized. The charisma of encouragement. I want to tell you about my friend Phil Bush. Phil and I met in September 1960 on our first day at Teacher Training College. We became great friends and we're still great friends 57 years later. The thing about Phil I noticed when I first met him, more than any other person I'd met, was that whenever he was in conversation with people, he always found ways of pointing people to Jesus. It was quite remarkable, and he's stayed like that ever since, for 57 years. If he's talking to a Christian, he always finds something to say which means, come on, what's your prayer life like? When he first did that sort of thing to me, I found it quite daunting, really. He challenged me. He was urging me, come on, you can do it. There's a wonderful part of the Bayeux tapestry which shows the king with a sword poking some of his soldiers in the back. And underneath the caption is, the king comforts his troops. He's urging them, come on, we can do it. That's an encourager. And my friend Phil Bush is like that whenever I'm with him. And his wife is just the same. Whenever we're with Phil and Joan, we've often said, when we're sort of driving home afterwards, haven't they blessed us? Haven't they brought something of the wonder of Jesus to us afresh? They've pointed us to Jesus. They've encouraged us in our walk of faith. And we've both been through tough times, Phil and I. And I believe in some ways I've encouraged him too. But he is an encourager, just like Barnabas, just like Peter. What about you? And then we come to the grace gift of giving, contributing to the needs of others. And once again, my reaction is, but surely all Christians are meant to give of their time and their possessions and their encouragement and their love. Yes, of course. But I've known people who have a charisma of giving. And it's not the sort of charisma that you see in the big televangelists flashing around their gold watches and their designer suits. And look at me, I'm rich because God has blessed me. And if you give to my ministry to make me richer, then you'll get rich too. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. It's contributing to the needs of others. That's the charisma of giving that Paul is writing about. There is a charisma of giving which empowers some to have a special anointing, what I call givenness. And I've known many folk with the grace gift of giving, but they don't shout about it. It's not a public ministry. It's not a public charisma. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. In 1980, when I left teaching to start working full-time as the assistant pastor of the Baptist Church in Bridgnorth, one of the first things I was asked by the leadership team to do was to have a small group every Thursday morning in our house for the unemployed men in our church. Suddenly, in the early 80s, there was a lot of redundancy. And we had about 6 or 7 of our men who lost their jobs. One of them was a young man with a wife and 4 young children. And he couldn't afford to pay his mortgage. And the following Sunday, after we first started this group, one man in our church came to me with an envelope. And he said, I want you to give this to, and he gave me the name of the person it was to be given to. For the next several months, I had the awesome privilege and joy of receiving an envelope in which was enough money to pay their mortgage. the charisma of giving. Nobody else in the church knew about it except me and the person who was giving. It's a secret charisma, which is powerful. Don't just get excited about people who have big ministries up here. Please understand, the Holy Spirit doesn't always work like that. Sometimes the gift is secret, but it's powerful. I've never forgotten that dear man. He's in glory now. But what a treasure he was to us as a church. Secretly, quietly, imperceptibly, he was ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit to those in need. And then Paul says there is a gift of showing mercy. It might be showing mercy to those who live on rubbish dumps. It might be showing mercy to those who are homeless. Again, we're all called to be merciful, aren't we? The story of the Good Samaritan. At the end of the story, Jesus says, well, who was a neighbor? Oh, well, the person who showed mercy. Okay, well, go and do the same, said Jesus. And he says the same to us this morning. But there is a charisma of showing mercy. Compassion, love, kindness. Let me tell you a true story. In 1986, there was a Christian lady in Maidstone who was deputy headmistress of a very smart girls' school. And in one of her lessons one week, she told her 16 and 17-year-old pupils about the homelessness problem in Maidstone. And at the end of the lesson, two or three of the girls came to her and said, Miss, what can we do about it? And so this lady said, well, actually, this coming Friday evening, I'm going to go out with a couple of flasks of hot soup to deliver to the homeless men in the streets of Maidstone. And two or three of the girls said, can we come, Miss? Well, of course, you don't take girls out on the streets just like that. She had to get permission from the parents, but she got permission from two or three of the parents. So that Friday evening, in her car, she picked up these pupils and they went out with flasks of soup for the homeless people in Maidstone. Today, over 30 years later, that soup run has grown into Maidstone Christian Care, which today is providing shelter for 40 to 50 homeless men and women in Maidstone. The day centre, counselling, showers, the sort of thing that the Webber Street people do in the London City Mission in Maidstone. She began a work with a few pupils, but just before we left Maidstone in 2007, I heard that same lady who'd started it speak. Long since retired, now a very old lady, still with a passion for the homeless. She still had the charisma of showing mercy. And she has been such a blessing to the town of Maidstone. Now the whole charity is supported by the Christian community. All the churches contribute to it. And there's a whole team of volunteers and they employ some people full time. It's just an amazing ministry. It began when God gave one rather posh, rather aristocratic Christian lady the charisma of showing mercy. But there's more. There's more. We limit the Holy Spirit too much. Some preachers say the gifts of the Spirit are the 9 in 1 Corinthians 12. No, they're wrong. In the New Testament, there are over 20. But there's more. As my favorite Irish comedian says, there's more. You see, the Holy Spirit is all powerful. He's fluid. He goes in unexpected ways. He's full of dynamic power. He's uncontrollable by we here mere humans. So don't be surprised if God the Holy Spirit doesn't give an unexpected charisma, spiritual gift, grace gift to you. There's a beautiful example in the Old Testament. Yes, grace gifts in the Old Testament. Yes, that's biblical. You look it up. Exodus 35, verse 30, into Exodus 36, verse 1. The Holy Spirit came on a man called Bezalel and gave him tremendous skill in all sorts of crafts, embroidery, woodwork, metalwork. Amazing. It was a charisma of the Holy Spirit. We need people like that today, don't we? And then there's another lovely example in music. In 1 Samuel 16, King Saul was on the downward slope. He'd been made king and he was really struggling. Listen carefully. An evil spirit was sent to him by God. If you don't believe me, read the passage that's there on the screen. 1 Samuel 16:23. It says this: whenever the spirit from God came on Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. The charisma of music. I know from personal experience, for many years, music was my main ministry, playing the piano and singing. And there were times, to my shame, when I got tremendous sort of, I don't know, kudos and glory from being the chap who was leading this big worship band. But there were times when I really depended on the charisma of the Holy Spirit, and God ministered to people through that charisma of music. And when that happens, it's awesome and wonderful, isn't it, Nick? You know that. You know that, Bex, don't you? The charisma of music. There's the charisma of intercession. There's the charisma of deliverance ministry. I could go on. We also make a big mistake if we think there is just one way to receive the gifts. Keith will be talking about that in 2 weeks' time. If you look at the book of Acts, people received gifts in all sorts of different, unexpected ways. There is no formula for receiving the gifts of the Spirit. We don't control the Holy Spirit. He controls us. I want to finish by saying this. Our God is the one who holds the world in his hands. Our God is the Creator God who makes amazing things. And he can do immeasurably more than we could ask or think. Are you open to the Holy Spirit this morning? Maybe you have a gift from the Holy Spirit and you haven't used it for ages. How dare you not allow the Holy Spirit to use you to exercise the charisma that you have been given? Or maybe you're still at the stage where you're saying, what is my gift, Lord? Well, seek God. There is a lovely verse in the passage we read which says this, Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. How do you keep your spiritual fervor? By constantly, day by day by day, coming to God the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, please use me today. Please fill me today. Please help me today. Please get that gift used again today in my life for the sake of other people. Not for my sake, but for other people. Paul wrote to his great friend and apprentice, Timothy, and he said to him in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, fan into flame the gift of God. One old preacher preaching on that verse said, come on, you people, poke that fire. Come on, poke the fire. That's the word of God to you today. Be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you, with gifts that will care for others, serving, encouraging, giving, showing mercy, praying, loving, helping. But we have a responsibility to fan into flame the gift, to poke the fire, so that God can use us to bless others. Amen.